Okay, so we've seen three models or three and a half models of the Isser Skhora, and we'll see more that will come up as we flesh out some of the details. So again, to remind us where we left off, the Gemara in several places introduces the principle of la'achlav la'l'schora, that you can't do business. Specifically, we focus on the case in the Gemara about etrog. It's not the only one, but that's where we went, where the Gemara says, how are you going to buy an etrog? So the Gemara says, you don't. You get it as a gift with the lulav. And the Gemara says, if you don't want to do that, so be mavliya. We're going to talk, hopefully, today about havla'ah, right? What havla'ah is and why that's an exception to the problem of schora. And then the Gemara says, well, why don't you just sell it? And the Gemara answers, it's a problem of ein moser in demei perot shviyad lama aretz. And as everyone says, I don't understand. Isn't it a problem of schora? So Rashi, based on that, equated schora to ein moser in demei perot shviyad lama aretz, because he thinks that schora, the Isser schora, doesn't really exist. All there is a value to either make sure that perot shviyad are used properly, or even more limited, to make sure that biur is done properly when the time comes for biur. And the problem with schora is that when you sell it, it might not happen, right? So there were three variations of Rashi that all basically said some version of that. And that was the Pnei Yoshua, the Netziv, and the Ri Milunil, where the Pnei Yoshua had said, the Ri Milunil is the most extreme. He says, if you sell it and it ends up being used properly, so then you didn't violate it at all. It's a gzera, which is a concern. It's not even a gzera. It's a concern, right? Therefore, according to him, if you sell it and it doesn't get misused, you didn't violate anything. Pnei Yoshua and the Netziv both think it's a gzera. And therefore, you're worried about it being misused, but even if it doesn't get misused, you still violated this gzera, whatever it is. But they have slightly different things. According to Pnei Yeshua, it only applies to fruit that actually have a chi of bi'ur, because it's just about bi'ur. According to the Netziv, it's more expansive, is that you're worried it might be misused more generally, and therefore it applies to all fruit, whether there's a chi of bi'ur or not. Right? That was within Rashi. Then you had the Ritva, who says, no, the way you should understand Rashi is as the extreme achila, per se, right? The mitzvah of achila mamash. And therefore, there is no problem at all of selling the perot shviyad for money, because money can be used to buy food, and therefore the kedusha will transfer into the money. The money will be used for food. The new food will have kedusha perot shviyad, and the value of achila will be realized. So it's fine. The only problem is as follows: if you buy schora, the actual formal iser schora. Again, we haven't talked about d'oraisa d'rabanan. Maybe we'll come back in the end and just say which it is. But fine for the moment. Whatever the iser is. The Ritva says that if you sell it for money, so if you sell it for like slaves or for services, so then the Kedusha is batel, and then you violated the fundamental Isser of Schora. However, if you do what? Correct. But if you buy, and you buy and sell food, then you're fine. What's the problem? Is if you buy it and sell it for money, right, so then you didn't violate schora, but if you give the money to an amaretz, who might not do it properly, so then you violate the gzera part of it, which is ein mosin demei peret l'shviyat amaretz, and that's what the Gemara is talking about. That was Rashi. Fine. Then we saw Tosvot, who, for the most part, seems to be, as the Rav frames it, an expression of Ruchum Fishel Perla, which is that there is no such thing as nesu schora, there's no chiyuv achila, the only thing there is agricultural isurim. And the agricultural isurim are defined as harvesting, working the field in such a way that you produce food that you then don't use for the purpose of eating, right? Everything comes back to that. And therefore, schora is one of the violations. And therefore, he goes as far as saying that the only time you violate is if you are the one who... Right. Now, I will note that yesterday... Within Tosfot, it seems to be the case that even if I go to Shlomo and say, listen, you harvest my field, you harvest the field and I'll sell it, I'll harvest my field, you sell it, right? That would be fine, right? It sounds like from Tosfot that that's possible. However, I should acknowledge that it is theoretically possible, and I don't want to spend too much time on it, but it is possible that even Tosfot would agree that if I actually appoint a shliach, right? Like I actually appoint Shlomo my shliach to go and do it on my behalf, then you would still violate. No, but Chazon Ish says that within Tosfot, it's possible that even Tosfot would agree that if I actually sent somebody, right, actually sent someone. Say it again. No, meaning not selling. If I actually tell Shlomo or you, whatever, go and sell the... No, I tell them, right? I tell them the harvest so that I can sell it, right? Meaning, right. No, that's selling it to an Amaretz. But here, where I actually engage them in the process of... A Chazon Ish says, if I actually engage you in the process of, you know, harvesting, like... It's one thing if I harvest. It's one thing if I harvest and then later on decide to bring you into the process, right? So then you don't violate. And then the only potential problem would be Amos and May Parent, Jiel Amaretz. But the Chazon Ish suggests that if I actually bring you into the process, like from the beginning, right? As a shliach, right? Like I say, you go cut it so that I can sell it, right? What? So according to the Chazon Ish, it doesn't matter. He's not like Rashi. He's not like Ritva. Right? Meaning he says, Tozer just says, anytime that I cut it down to sell it, rather than cut it down and then someone else sells it, right? If the same person, right? Okay, but again. No. Not giving it to Amaretz has to do with who you sell it to, right? What? No, that's not what he's saying. Again. Tozer is saying that if the same person cuts it, and sells it, you violate. Which we explained based on the Rav, based on Rechum Fishel Perla, that the real Isser is just the harvesting for the wrong reasons. And therefore, if I harvest it and then someone else sells it, since I didn't harvest it for the wrong reasons, and he sold it but it never wasn't involved in the harvesting, you've severed the link between the harvesting and the selling, and therefore it's mutter. Right? The Chazon Ish just says it's possible that if I actually appointed you a shliach, right? Like, imagine the scene, right? I have an industrial-sized farm, so I hire people to harvest it with the express purpose of selling it, right? So the Chazon Ish in that case says I haven't severed the link between harvesting and selling because I appointed you my shliach for that purpose, and that's not enough to sever the link. Okay, I mean, no, that's usher. Right, he's saying that is usher, meaning if I cut it down and then Shlomo comes and sells it, that's fine. But if I cut it down because Shlomo said, cut it down so that I can sell it, right? Or I say, cut it down so that, right? Or I say, I'm going to cut it down so you can sell it for me, right? Meaning if I tie the link in from the beginning, right? So then the Chazon Ish says, that's a problem. Okay, I mean, I don't think so much hangs on it, but it definitely makes a lot of sense. What? What do you mean? It's Lach Lav Lola Sora, right? I think those are, okay. So, but anyways, that's the Chazon Ish. No, it doesn't. Yes. It's Kaddosh. The money is Kaddosh, and now anything you buy with it becomes Kaddosh. Yeah. Yeah. Right, we're going to get to that. That's the next part of, right? When you finish Torah, you need to move to that. But I'm not sure we'll move right to it, but we will get to it, right? Okay, but that's... Because you have to harvest it for the purpose of eating, right? The third... Then we went to the Rambam, and we said the Rambam can mean one of two things. Either Rambam says you can sell only in small quantities, not in large quantities, right? And we said, either like Eli said, simply because, what does he believe? He believes that you're supposed to relate to it as hefker, right? So if you're selling in large quantities, you're not. If you're selling in small, you are. Alternatively, we said, right, it's, what? Yeah, or you formalize it and say no, right? Like the Ritva, if I sell the amount that can meet in one day, that's defined objectively as eating. Beyond that, it's storing, it's business, right? Okay, fine. So that's what we saw. Now I want to sharpen the Isser. So if we really want to sharpen it, we need to ask the next question, which is, who violates the Isser? Okay. Actually, I mean, I'll ask you this. Do you want to go on to that, or do you want me to take, like, just very quickly 5 minutes to prove whether the Isser, if it exists, is Doraisa or Darabanan? Do you want me to do that very quickly, or do you want me to give you source on that inside, which I've sort of elided, but I'm... What do you want me to do? Again, the simple shot, at least in the Gemaras we've seen, is that it sounds like it's Doraisa. It's a drasha, right? That whatever it is, Doraisa has its own rule. It's a Doraisa, it's a derivative, right, of Achila. But admittedly, there are other sources. Do you want me to run through it quickly? What do you want? You tell me. What do you want? Okay. Or do you want to do it inside and kill yourself? I mean, no, I'll run through it for you, okay? If there's anything you want to come back to, tell me. So the things that complicate the picture of it being Daraisa are, one, is that Mishnah that I mentioned already in Sanhedrin, that Elohim Apsulin, right, these are the people who are Apostle Eidot, Amesachik, Bekubya, Amalve, Beribet, Umafri, Chayonim, Vesokhari, Shviat. These are the people who are Apostle Eidot. Right? And as we said, right, the Gemara goes on to tell you that it's only people who make that their entire profession, right? Because then it says, Amr Shem, Tchila, Yikar, Notan, Osi, Shviat, Mishrabu, Han, Nasan, Chazakot, and Sokhari, Shviat. And Amr Yehuda, Amatai, Bizman, Shein, Lem, Umnat, Elohi, Aval Yesh, Lem, Umnat, Shlohi, Ksherit. Right? This is only if they have no other job. So if you say that it's Derabanan, so you might say, listen, you violated Issa Derabanan, so that doesn't make you Apostle Eidos. If you violate it all the time, you have no other job, you sustain yourself on and Derabanan, so then we're going to invalidate you for Eidos. If it's an Issa Daraisa, right? I don't understand. If you violate an Issa Daraisa, you should be Apostle Eidos. That's the halacha. But the general rules, if you violate an Issa Daraisa, you should, right? That can invalidate you, right? And this is a sif, right? This is how we pass it. At least a lav that is Malkos, whatever. Right? I mean, I remember one of my friends once asking a Rosenzweig. He's like, I was asked to be an aide at a wedding, an aide yichud or something. Should I do tshuva first, then I'm kasher le'edos? And I think it was aide yichud. And Rosenzweig said, look, it's always good to do tshuva. Yichud happens to be that edos is really meaningless. It's not really... No, is it yichud? I mean, yichud is half meaningless because they'll do it at that. Right? Real yichud's at the house. Maybe it was on the Tanaim, in which case it's totally meaningless. Whatever it was. So that doesn't tell us much. However, right now, but in general, right, the drasha that we have in Sukkah, and the same drasha appears in Bechorot, the exact same drasha there, though in the context of Ma'u Liftot ben Behemah Shviat, are you allowed to redeem animals, right? Right? Can you redeem, right? By Petar Chamor with a behemat shviat, and the Gemara says no because la'achla v'lo right v'lo l'schora. So all that might point to the Daraisa. Where it gets complicated is both the case in Sanhedrin. The Tosefta has this line, which is a little bit confusing, because the Tosefta says that anyone, it says as follows. This is a Tosefta in Bikurim. Hamocher Sefer Torah To, someone who sells a Sefer Torah, Eino Roa Simon Bracha L'Olam, won't see Bracha. Okay? And gives you a list of other people who won't have a Bracha in their life. And one of them is Tagare Shmita. So then you got to wonder, meaning, why don't you just say it's Usser? Why would you say you don't see Bracha? So one possibility is it's Darabanan, and the other is it's really bad, and therefore not only is it Usser, but it will, like, curse you, right? Again, so... Right, so that's the problem. On the other hand, some of the other things here might be Daraita, like Kotsei Ilan Otovot, cutting down trees, which might be Baltashka Daraita. So it's unclear... Right, it's unclear what you would derive from that. The Gemara in Kiddushin, when talking about how chamur the Isser of Socher Peir Shviat is, calls it as follows: Detanya Rabbi Yosef Chanina Omer Borei Kamakasha Avka Shel Shviat. Look how strict the dust of Shmita is. And then it goes on to talk about a case of selling. That no sevenotin per shvit, lasof mocher, metal lover, if you sell shmita, and then it goes on, you'll be cursed and da 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 da. The problem is, what does avak normally mean? Yeah, and therefore, when you call something the avak shell, sometimes that means it's a lesser iser, right? So does that mean it's a lesser iser? Does that mean it's derabanan? So Rashi there says, iser hakal sheba, ha'osis garber zed, da'havile lava ba michal aseh, la'achlav lo l'schara. So Rashi there says, no, it's really usser, da'raisa, it's just, why is it kal? Because the lava ba michal aseh, it's not a prohibition, it's not don't do schara, it's do eat it, right? Which makes it sound very much like the Ritva's understanding of Rashi. Right? But according to that, it's daraisa. It's just kal. Tosfot is a little bit, right? Tosfot also seems to say it's daraisa. So what's avka? It says, perish iser kal sheba, de ikr iser shviat eno ela avodat karka. It's kal because it's not the main iser. The main iser is agriculture. Avomaso matan eno ela ase ba'alma v'loch l'loschora. And schar is only an asay, right? So again, both Tosfot and even though you might have thought that avka means it's derabanan, in the end of the day, Tosfot and Rashi both say, no, it's daraita, it's just an asay. So, yeah, or lava bami chal say, the aruch, though, says avka kimo reyach. It's the scent of, right? That makes it sound more like it's not really usser, right? It's only the scent of being usser, right? So the Aruch might be saying that it's derabanan. Might be, right? Not totally clear. Right? So some people have been medayik from the Aruch that what he means is that it's derabanan. And that is, Rishon Lieberman wrote as well, that avak means that it's not biblical, right? That's how he read it. Again, I tend to think that based on all the sources we've seen, that the majority view is that it is in some way, shape, or form, de'oraisa, maybe not as independent, as a derivative of Achila, right? And that's how, again, that's how Ramban takes it, that's how Chasholchan takes it. But just to know that there is that discussion, right? Again, I think the majority view in Rishonim is that it's Daraisa. It might be an Isser Kal, but it's an Isser Daraisa, right? But there are those who think it's Darabanan. Okay, back to our scheduled programming, okay? So now, in order to really sharpen the nature of the Isser, I want to, right, one of the questions I think really sharpens it is the question of, does the buyer violate or only the seller? Okay, so you tell me. What? Because the Gemara that we started with says, don't sell your SRO because it's a violation of whatever. So, maybe because of personal. Well, okay, meaning, remember, Rashi makes it very clear that the seller violates Schora, and the buyer violates Lifnei Iver on the buyer, right? Now, so let's go through the Shita. According to Tosfot, what would you say? It's definitely only on the seller, right? Because he says the whole point is whoever harvested it, right? If he also sells it, he has now defined retroactively his harvesting as one which is L'Schora, which violates L'Tiktor. So according to Tosfot, there's no Shaila, right? What about according to Rashi? It's a geder, right? So it's clearly on the seller, meaning the whole point is it's a geder that you shouldn't sell it to someone who's then going to misuse it. For the buyer, what's the problem? If he misuses it, right? He's not violating schora, whatever schora is. Schora is a series of gedarim that tell you don't sell it to someone who's going to later misuse it. But the problem on the buyer is don't be that person who misuses it. Right? So the Isser is clearly on the...
Yes, but if you're saying that it's a problem of Kesef, you say the exact opposite. That's not a problem of the buyer, that the seller is going to misuse it.
What?
If you're saying that Kesef, that we're talking about, like...
I mean, you're right. It's possible. It's possible that, right, he'll say that it's... Now, so Josh says, well, it depends. If you think the problem isn't just you're going to misuse the produce, it's that you're going to misuse the money, right? So then maybe it's on both. Right? It's a gzera on both. Right? No, not just the buyer. Right? Can't, definitely not just the buyer, because it's also a problem the payer will be misused. Right? To say it's only a problem, I think that's unlikely, but it could be also the buyer. What about according to the Rambam? Yeah, it could go either way. Right, on the one hand, you could say it's only the person who's selling it who's really treating it as merchandise. The fact that I'm buying it, right, it's like, you know, you shouldn't be selling it to me, right? You should be giving it to me for free. But if I need food, right, and you're not going to give it to me, so, right, you're the one who commodified it. Or you could say, no, what do you mean? In order to make something a sale, there needs to be a buyer and a seller, and therefore, both the buyer and the seller have engaged in commodification of Peres Shviat. Right? So the Rambam, it could go either way. So, what would you say? The Kapot Tamarim asked the question, and he says, V'kashe, demai parech, lema dektani notin lo etrog ma'atana mairi democher etrog lokto limachro. So the Kapot Tamarim says the following. What does he say? Right, he says, let's go to the case of the Esrog. So remember, Tosfot had said that you only violate Schorah if the person who picks it is the person who sells it. Right? And that's why Tosfot had said in our Sugya that the reason the Gemara only says Ein Moshin Deben Peret Shviyach Lam Aretz was because we were talking about a case specifically where what? Where the person selling it is not the person who bought it, and therefore the only is not the person who picked it. He bought it from someone and then is selling it on, right? And the reason that there's no Isser Schora is because he's not the picker, right? And therefore it's only a problem. Ein Moshin Peirot Shviat Lam Aretz. But the question that the Kapot Tamarim is dealing with is, why didn't it talk about a case of Isser Schora, right, where the picker is selling it? So he says it can't be. You know why it can't be? Because that Gemara is talking about, from the vantage point of who? The Lokeach. Right, because remember, the Lokeach, how do I know it's from the vantage point of the Lokeach? Because the Lokeach is trying to figure out, how am I going to get him to give me his Esrog? Either I'm going to get him to give it me as a present, or I'm going to do Havla. Which means from the vantage point of the Lokeach. And the Kapot Tamarim says, it's from the vantage point of the Lokeach. Then there is no Schora. Meaning, the reason the Gemara ends up talking about Ein Moshin Tmei Peret Shviat Lam Aretz is because the prime actor in that Gemara is the Lokeach, because he's trying to figure out how to get an Esrog, and he can never violate Schora by definition. And therefore, the only relevant discussion is Moshrin, Ein Moshrin Tmei Peret Shviat Lam Aretz. Right? Where he's going to buy it, and then he's going to give money, which are not going to be Kadosh, and the Amaretz is going to be... So he says the buyer can violate Ein Moshin Demei Peret Shviat Lam Aretz, because as Josh said, if it's about the money, so the buyer is enabling the seller to misuse the money. He says, you're right, and that's called Ein Moshin Demei Peret Shviat Lam Aretz, but it's not called, according to Tosfot, Schora. And the Kapot Tamarim says, aha, from here, that according to Tosfot, it's very clear that Schora, per se, can only be violated by the seller. And not the buyer. The buyer, if he's violating, it's something else. And that, in fact, as we said, is almost inevitable from the position of Tosfos. Okay? And therefore, right? Now, one second. Now, according to this, so in what sense does the lokeach, what does the lokeach violate? Does he violate anything?
Yeah.
What? Right. Either in motion, they may apparently lamaretz. So what if the guy's not an amaretz? Then he would violate. Lifnei iver, misayeya. He's enabling the seller to be a seller. Right? And that's how the Meiri takes it. Yadata, sheinos in schara beperet shviyit. Vamearet chashudim b'chol elu. Right? You can't, you're not allowed to do business with Shemitah produce. And Amayarits are, right, suspect to this. Umitoch kach aser likach peret shviyit me'amaretz. And that's why you can't buy Shemitah produce from an Amaretz. Shema shviyit him, because maybe they're shviyit. V'hu nasa al yadinu socher bahem. And because of us, he will be a socher. Right? Which sounds like some sort of misayeya, lifnei iver, something. What? I don't know. I think that's a bit of a stretch of how to read it. I don't know. You want to read him as saying, no, you actually violate it by making him a seller.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think that's what he's saying. Could be. It could be. I'm not... No, I understand he's talking about Skora, but he doesn't say you violate Skora. He says you enabled him to be a Socher. Okay, it could be. I hear. Okay, it could be. It could be. It's not impossible that that's what he means. Okay, maybe. Maybe. It's not a... I wouldn't have jumped to that interpretation, but okay. I mean, no, I hear what you're saying, is that the Isser is making the other person a socher, which means that you are commodifying it by allowing someone else to sell. I mean, okay, it could be. Now, the no to Behuda goes farther. No to Behuda says, no, not even that. You don't even violate Lefnei Iver. You violate literally nothing. You know why? He says, my Isser Yesh Belokeach Per Shviyat Im Kona Letzorach Achila. So you know why? Because you're buying it for food. You're buying it to eat. That's what you're supposed to be doing.
So what about the case of
Bula? V'im ken, enashem alo, nolim beres alo, l'maichal beitam. Wait a second. What do you mean? No, so he says... Oh, you mean when you're buying it for Abraminium?
Yes.
Maybe, right? Maybe.
But is there would it be then?
Right, meaning, because then you're not relating to it, right? You're right. According to the No Dude, it's possible that you would violate if you weren't relating to it as food. If you're relating to food, he's saying, listen, he's relating to his merchandise, I'm relating to his food, right? Now, this works, I think, well within the Rambam's framework, right? Right, because the Rambam said that selling, not all selling is usur. What type of selling is usur? That which treats as a commodity. But right, let's take the example now. Let's say that the guy owns a supermarket, so he's clearly violating schora. But let's say instead of me buying to stock up, I buy for my meal right now. So clearly, what am I doing, right? Like, I remember when I was in Rambam, right? You know, we were during lunch, people would go out for lunch, and, you know, there's a million restaurants on Central Avenue. So sometimes I go out to eat, and sometimes I didn't want something heavy, I didn't want something expensive, so there's also a supermarket there. So I went to the supermarket and I bought something at the supermarket for lunch, right? So I'm not buying, I'm treating it as I'm buying for lunch. Instead of going to get a bagel at the restaurant, I go to there and I get a whatever, right? I go to their takeout section and I take out, right, a salad, right? So the seller is clearly relating to it as merchandise, right? But the buyer is treating it as food, right? Yeah, right. And it could be that Rashi would say the same thing, right? Saying, no, in a chanami. And in that case, right? So, right. What his logic tells you is that because of that, right? Now, you could have said not that way. You could have said, no, if I want to treat it as food, I would go pick it, right? The fact that I'm buying it. But again, there is a compelling argument to say that even when the framework of the Rambam, right? Especially once you acknowledge the fact that there are, cases in which you're selling and it's not usser, right? I mean, once you acknowledge that not all sale is business, right? This is quite, I think, right? It has a lot going for it. Say it again. Correct. There could be, right, and that's what he's saying, is there could be an isser on the mocher even when there's no isser on the koneh, because the mocher is treating it as merchandise. He owns a supermarket, and you're buying a lunch, right? So you're treating it as ochel, right? There is a logic to that, right? Now, it could be that right now, it could be that according to this, you would say, but what happens if I don't do that? What happens if I, bonagid, I buy, right? Right, or whatever. Remember, we saw that within Tosos did raise the possibility that if I buy a lot to resell, then I do violate. Right? 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 That, so if that's the case, right, so you could say, look, maybe it depends. If I'm a buyer and I'm buying it for private use, so then I don't violate. But, I mean, you could say that in the Rambam, it depends how you're relating to it. Right? That if I'm buying it as food, then it's possible the seller violates and I don't. Right? If I, on the flip side though, if I'm buying it to sell on, right? I'm going to Costco to sell it more expensive, right? Costco is one of the interesting places, right? Costco, you could go and you could buy it as a private person who just wants to buy in bulk, but restaurants will also go there because they're buying in bulk, right? So you could say it depends, right? That the buyer who goes to Costco to buy for his, 10 people in his family doesn't violate. But the buyer who goes to Costco to stock up, I remember when, it's like at Costco in, the Costco bagels are kosher, but the ovens at Costco are not kosher. So if you ask them, you used to do this?
Yeah.
So it's if you ask them, you can buy them frozen. Right, and bake them at home. Like they're pre-made. You just got to warm them up or even just thaw them out, right? So it's this thing. Most people are going to Costco to get bagels are getting like 6 at a time. But the Frum people are going and they're getting, I forget if it's 36 or 72, right? 72? Yeah, that sounds right. So like we would buy, because Ara loves bagels, and they're like dirt cheap. They're like a quarter each or something when you buy it like that. And they're very good, but it was ridiculous. So then we would have to like borrow my in-law's extra freezer. Right, because like we didn't have a big freezer. My in-laws have multiple freezers, right? But when Ora would go, sometimes she would see certain restaurants in Toronto who are doing the exact same thing, right? So, right, we're buying it because Ora really likes bagels, and 72 bagels was a week of bagels, right? I'm joking.
Is the problem what your intention is, or is the problem how it's going to end up getting used? Like, if you intend for it to be returned to as food, we have a ton of leftovers.
Oh, for sure that would be fine, right? Meaning, no, there's no question in my mind that according to Yehuda, if I bought, right, and then I just wasn't as hungry, right, I bought a normal amount of food, right, and then, I'm on a diet. I didn't realize how little I was going to want to eat or whatever, right? Or I bought for my family and then, mom and dad, we forgot. We have a birthday party tonight. I mean, leftover food, right? And no one's going to say you violate in that case, right? A pasha, you related to it. Now, so then you got to figure out, right? If you hold something like the Ritva, then you would say, it depends. How much did you buy, right? You can come up with amounts like. But what you see is that within the Rambam's framework, that's where you start getting to the possibility that the buyer might violate, but it might depend on context, right? The Yehuda says the buyer doesn't at all because he's just buying it for food. But you're right. Within the Yehuda's framework, you got to wonder, is that all cases, right? Or is that when particularly you are relating to it as food and not... maybe... Maybe? I don't know. What? Yeah, that it doesn't... Okay. Now, it does, I mean, I'll read you a fuller piece of the Noda Behuda. It does seem to be that according to the Noda Behuda, in theory, you could violate, right, depending on context, right? So I'll read you, right, he says, Yesh bilokech v'yashvir im, sorry, umash evi mechot ni'agon, mechamash neshim, amitkachot, etc. So he says, Uma isher yesh bilokech v'yashvir im kona letzarech achila. Right, what's the iser if you buy it for food? Right, so what's implied in the Noda Behuda? That if you buy it for food, then you don't violate. But if you don't, then you're treating it as merchandise, right? So again, to review, according to Tosfot, it's inevitable. You can't violate. Right, according to Rashi, right, the Lokech can't violate. He didn't pick it, right? According to Rashi, also probably not, right? Because the problem is him giving you the money misused. The Rambam is the one where you would say it might. According to the Yehuda, now, the truth is, when you really read the Yehuda, it sounds more like that. What does he say? It depends. If you treat it as merchandise when you buy it, then the lokeach and the mocher violate, right? But if you're buying it for food, the fact that he's treating it as commodity is not your problem, right? You're treating it as my lunch, and that's mutter, right? So according to the Yehuda, the lokeach, it sounds like, could in theory violate, right? And that works well within the Rambam, that just like a seller, depending on how he approaches it, can either violate or not violate. The buyer, depending on how he approaches it, can violate or not violate. Exactly. Right? No, I think I'm using that loosely. Yeah, no, I think it's more of context, right? It's more context. Just one second. Now the Mishnah at Yavetz, I'll just read you. The Mishnah at Yavetz takes this position, okay? Right, the Mishnah, guys, now, whether or not the Me'iri means what Josh says, the Mishnah Yavetz very much does agree with Josh, right? Not necessarily in the Me'iri, but he thinks that the Rambam will not agree with the Yehuda. He thinks, according to the Rambam, the Lokech and the Mocher both violate. I'll just read you the paragraph. He says that the Rambam writes, he also says this is about Tosos, but not necessarily our Tosos, so I don't want to get into it, right? He says for Rambam, and remember Tosfot had two dayot, one which was about planting, the other which is exactly like the Rambam?
Yeah.
Right? So he says that shita, meaning the Rambam and the Tosfot that say it's about how you relate to it, he thinks chad v'chalak, that the buyer and the seller violate. Right? And he says, the iser schora b'per shviyat chalot din iser b'fnei atzma, who according to them, it's its own iser. There's something called iser schora. And what is iser schora for him? Treating it as schora. Right? And he says, what makes something schora? Shamasa aschora asur repair shviyat. Vaha mocher vaha lokeach. Shneim ovrim be'isur schora repair shviyat. Both the buyer and the seller violate. Shaharei al yidei shneim nase mekach umemkar repair shviyat. Between the two of them, a transaction happened with peru shviyat. V'imkein lo be'isur schora repair shviyat. Without that, it wouldn't have been. Ella im hu kein mekach. He said, when is that going to happen? Only if the sale takes place in a forbidden context. Right? But if I sell a little bit, then the buyer and the seller don't violate. Right? Leka is your schora. But then he says, obviously, according to Tosfot, the other shita in Tosfot, that iser schora isn't its own iser. It's a derivative of cutting. Then the only person who can violate is the one who harvests it for schora, and therefore it's not going to be. Right? So what we have is that according to Tosfot's position, that it's a derivative of harvesting, it's only on the harvester, which is the mocher. If it's like Rashi, that it's a problem of, right, the whole thing is a gzera atu, whatever, presumably not, right? Also on the mocher. If you hold like the Rambam, so then either you would say it's only in the mocher, or you would say no. Just like with the mocher, depends on context, So the lokeachet is context. That's what Mishnah Seifet says. That's the way Josh understands the Meiri, which I'm not sure, but maybe that's what the Meiri means. That's the way the Noda Behuda seems to say it, right? Which is, if I buy it for food and you sell it as merchandise, I don't violate, right? But if I buy it as merchandise, I would, right? If I buy it to sell on, then I would, right? And I think that makes sense, right? It follows very logically from what we saw. Okay? Here, just in the notes, right, in the description, I'll just run through one of the major nafkaminas. And I've mentioned before, but now I will explain it to you again. One of the major nafkaminas is in the context of any case in Shemitah where you treat something as kadosh and the other person doesn't. Right? So, heter mechira. If the person who, if the seller holds of heter mechira and therefore doesn't relate to it as kadosh, but you are machmir to treat it as kedusha, so is it usher for you to buy? So, if you think that the isser of schora is only on the mocher, then he thinks it's mutter, so it's not a problem. And maybe you have lifnever, but that gets into the question of whether you can violate lifnever when the other person thinks it's mutter, right? But it's definitely not the isser schora. Why? Because if you hold like Tosfot, or you hold like Rashi, he might have violated schora, but he has it, the reasons he thinks it's mutter, and you are the buyer, and the buyer never violates schora. So now you, right, this is right Ginsburg's position, right? You buy it. You can buy it, no problem buying it, but what should you do? Treat it because you should on the chash that. What? I mean, when he says no. Whatever, I don't know. You if you buy it, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. If you buy it, but you're choshesh that it has kedusha shviyit, right? So treat it with kedusha shviyit, but you didn't buy it. Whatever you violated the neighbor, but you definitely didn't buy. Violate Schora, and Lifneiver will depend on whether you think you can violate Lifneiver when the other person thinks it's Mutter. No, but again, if you think that Schora isn't a problem from the Lokeach, right, that's what the Yehuda says, right? He's selling it. He's doing something wrong. You're treating it as Ochel. You're allowed to. I'm buying it to eat right now. That's Mutter. No, that's exactly what the Yehuda says. No, what do you mean? That's exactly what Hadoo's saying. It's not true. As long as I'm buying it for food, that's not a violation of Shemitah. I'm not treating it as produce. If you went the Kedusha route, first of all, Kedusha can be bought. It's just, it brings about redemption. Okay, we're going to do, that's the next major Sugya. That's not the Isser Schora, that's the question of the Kedusha Damim. What you're doing is jumping to the next major Sugya, which is, why is that when you sell Peir Shvi'at, the money becomes Kadosh, and what does that tell us about the nature of Kedusha? We are going to do that. Just, we have to do this logically, in order. Misudar. What you're doing is right, is saying, is the Kedusha of Peir Shvi'at similar to other Kedushot? And what does the fact that the money becomes Kadosh teach us about Kedusha Shvi'at? You're 100% right. We have to analyze that. That's the next thing. Right? That's the next major Sugya. Yeah. Right? What we're knowing about is the Isser Schora. The second point is that because even when I'm allowed to sell Peiret Shviyat, the money still becomes Kadosh, right? So the Isser and the fact that the money becomes Kadosh are not the same, right? Because let's say, according to the Rambam, I'm allowed to sell you two oranges, right? But when I sell you two oranges, the dollar is now Kadosh, and you go buy two bananas, right? The bananas are now Kadosh. All of that happened beheter. But the money is still Kadosh, and the fruit that is bought by that money is still Kadosh, right? So the Isser is independent, right? There's the Isser, and then there's the fact that the money retains Kedusha. Those are two separate questions, okay? Lifne'iver is because you violated Schora, right? Or, you're right, Lifne'iver, so far we're talking about Schora. There's also the problems of Ein Moshen Meper L'Shviyat, which according to Rashi isn't just a problem of Schora, is that we're worried you're going to misuse the money. Right? But that's a derivative of the fact that the money is Kadosh. If the money wasn't Kadosh, I couldn't be worried that you'd misuse the money. But because the money is Kadosh, what? No, but if I sold it to someone who I'm not worried about, right? It's Ein Moshen L'Am Aretz, but if I sold it to, right, a Talmid Chacham who I know is going to treat it right, then that wouldn't be a problem. Right? Because, right, the Kedusha might create Isurim, but it's not equivalent to. There's two different halachic issues at play. They're not Yisurim, meaning the fact... Yeah, yes, yes. Right, but that's not an Isser. You keep using Isser. The fact that the money becomes Kadosh is not an Isser. It's a halachic issue that we need to analyze. Rashi connects the two, correct. Rashi connects the two by saying that the Isser of Schara is a derivative of the fact that the money is going to be Kadosh, then I'm going to have to be worried what happens to the money. But we haven't yet talked about the mechanism by how the money becomes Kadosh. We haven't done that yet, right? What we've done so far is Schara, okay? But one of the nafkaminas is Heter Mechira, is, right? If the seller holds the Heter Mechira, but you don't think the Heter Mechira works, and therefore he thinks the produce is Kadosh, right? So, are you violating Schara by buying Peretriot? If you think Isser Schara is only on the seller, then the answer is no. Maybe Lifnei Iver, but then you have to ask, again, does Lifnei Iver apply when the seller thinks what he's doing is Mutter? Right? Maybe not, etc. But if you think that the Isser Schara is on the buyer and the seller, then even, right, you might not even be allowed to buy it, even if you're going to treat it Mekdusha Shviyat, because you just engaged in what you think is a problematic sale, right? Now, it might not be the case, because according to the Yehuda, those aren't necessarily the same, because you could say, but according to the Yehuda, what would you say? It depends. Just because he holds a Heter Mechira and now is running Rami Levy and selling, right, the produce, you're not buying it industrially, you're not buying it for your restaurant, you're buying it for your house. So according to the Yehuda, right, so according to the Yehuda, even within the Rambam, it's mutter, because you could have a case in which the seller is violating because he's selling on mass, but you're buying only for yourself, and therefore it could be that even within the Rambam you wouldn't violate, right? That's something the Yehuda takes it. The Mishnah Zayivit says no. He's selling it in a business context, and you're enabling him to do that, and therefore you are creating the chalois shame sale, and therefore it is usur. A similar nafkamina would be the question of the machloket, the mabit, and the Beis Yosef. Okay, I'm going to summarize this. I'm going to summarize this for you. I'm not going to read the mabit inside. Okay, but this is a similar case, meaning similar only in the sense of the machloket, but there is a machloket. Okay? Does produce that grow, that a Jew grows in non-Jewish land, is it chayiv in Shemitah and in Truma and Maaser? Okay? This was a big machloket. The Mabit felt that even something that grows in a non-Jew's land, even though it's mutter, right, it's still kadosh. Right? The non-Jew's allowed to work the land, but it's still kadosh. The Beis Yosef says it isn't. Rov rubo of poskim paskim, like the Beis Yosef, that anything that a non-Jew grows in his own land is not kadosh with Kedushat Shviyat. However, the Chazon Ish paskim like the Mabit, and that's why if you go to the supermarket, yesterday I had a doctor's appointment in Beitar, so I just went shopping. I needed to shop anyways, I went in Beitar. In Beitar, you're not going to find anything, pretty much, that Heter Mechira, or, you know, you'll find very little Otzer Beit Din, you'll find a little bit. Most of it is some variations of non-Jews or Chutz Laaretz, but they will tell you on the sign, this is Nachri, this is Shishit, this is Chutz Laaretz. Why are they telling you that? Because Shishit and Chutz Laaretz, according to all Shittot, are not Kadosh. No, they're all allowed. No, not all. They're all allowed, but they're not Kadosh. But Nachri of Shviyat is, according to the Mabit, Mutter but Kadosh. Not a problem. Stop saying problem. Mutter but Kadosh. Right? And according to the Chazon Ish, it's, right, you have to treat it as Kadosh. So now, what's the problem? Are you allowed to sell it? Right? So, according to Tosfot, the answer would be mutter, because Schora is only a problem when it's a derivative of Kotzer, but when the non-Jew was the one selling, was producing in his own land, then there was no Isser Ksira to begin with. So, even if you think it's Kadosh without an Isser Schora. Right? Right? For the buyer or seller. Right? According to the Rashi, you might get into the Xero problems, right? What about according to the Rambam? It depends, exactly. Exactly. So, the Mabit was, right, was dealing with this question, and he says, well, if you hold that you should treat it with Kedusha, so does that mean there's now an Isser Schora? So at first he says, at first glance, I would say usher, because it's Kadosh, and you're selling it and buying it. Merchandise, right? Usher. But then he says, Avobdiktu kayafe, maybe I'll just read part of it. He says, after thinking about it more, he said, look, in the end of the day, maybe that's only with Jews, but non-Jews are selling to, I mean, he's like, these categories don't work, right? Now, the problem is that he seems to be going more like a Rashi, right? A Rashi way, right? But the truth is that according to the Rambam, you could have entertained the possibility that he really would, right? He doesn't take it because he seems to go more Rashi, that it's about causing someone to violate, and if it's a non-Jew, well, he's not mechuyav, so what's the problem? Okay, but that is on the, so that's on the question. So again, according to most positions, it's only on the Mocher, but as we saw, according to the Rambam, you could entertain a position that seems to be no Dehuda, that at least under certain circumstances, it is, it's going to be Aser. Okay, right. Now, in the end of the day, most people, right, because according to most Rishonim, and even when the Rambam, there's the Suffolk, most poskim really were on this point, Mekel. And if you want, Rav Nissim Karelitz has a nice long discussion of this, in Chutshani and Hilchot Shemitah, where, again, you still have to worry potentially about Lifnei Iver, right? Lifnei Iver is a bit more of a potential issue here. Right, but the Isser Schorah, at least you don't. And again, the Lifnei Iver, I don't want to get too much into. Okay, fine. So I thought we were going to do Havla today, but in the end, we spent time on what I didn't think, which was the Daraisa Darabanan. Right. So we still did two topics. It was just a different topic that I didn't think we were going to deal with. Look, it's still a quarter to. So if you want, we can start on Havla. Or do you want to say we'll do Havla tomorrow? Okay, fine. So then Havla. So the last two topics here are Havla and, Havla and very quickly, Kinyan Bahakafa, which is buying on credit. Really, I don't want to get too much in buying credit because that is a little bit more what's going on in the rest of the Perek, but we'll see. Those are the two topics that are left on this that I want to deal with. Then, when we finish this, so let's say another 1 or 2 days, what I want to do is read the Perek Zayin Halach Aleph, okay, the Yerushalmi, which is, the Yerushalmi doesn't have too much on it. Then after that, we'll either skip Chet Dalet entirely, which is mostly a Bishul Akum Sugya, or we'll read it in like one day and just make a few points and move on, but it's not, I do not want to get bogged. I know I say that a lot, but I really don't want to get bogged down. Chet Hey, I do want to do, because Chet Hey is very important. At some point, we need to do the question, the issue of the money becoming kadosh. So we can either do that right after we finish this, or we can, once we've done Scharo, we can read a few of the relevant halachot, which I think what we really should do is do Chet Hey, yeah, and then come back to it. I mean, keep it in the back of your mind. Yeah, I mean, that's a big sugya. Don't get me wrong. It's a huge sugya. Meaning, look, Scharo, right, you see that the Olamot sheets on Scharo are 15 pages. The Olamot sheets on the Kedusha going to the money is 20 pages, right? What? I didn't say I was going to print it for you. I'm just, I didn't say we're going to do it. We're doing this sugya from the Moreinu, first of all, because it's very organized, and because I knew this week was going to be crazy, and I didn't know how many of you would be sick and whatever, so I did it here, and this way it's organized in order. You know, I don't need to do that. Like, I'm capable of preparing my own source sheets, as you know. It happens to be, I think Rav Bitzal did a very excellent job in organizing this in a way that is not overwhelming, because Sora is such a big sugya, it can easily get overwhelming. So I'm happy we're doing it this way. I've been borrowing from other Makarot, right? As you see, I didn't only use these Makarot. This is what I gave you. The Daraisa Drabanan, you know.
Yeah, imagine that.